Good to see you here tonight. Thank you for coming. A few more, hopefully, be gathering in shortly. So, but we want to make a start here. Want to welcome Colin along with us this evening. I know it's his first time in the church here. Bit of a battle between the Carrick Baptists, because we're Carrick Fergus and you're from?
Carrick Macross Baptist.
Yeah, so, but listen, just to introduce him to you this evening, Colin, do you want to tell us a little bit about yourself, your background, where you're from, and family?
So, I'm originally from Lisburn, but left to go to England to train to be a teacher, and it was as I was leaving Northern Ireland to go to England, I came across Christians who shared the gospel with me. So as I was training to be a math teacher in Nottingham, got involved with the Christian Union there and just was amazed at the news I heard about Jesus. And so became a teacher, but was working in the school as a math teacher and helping out at a local church. It was just a real joy to see, you know, there's so much to share about the Lord in both the school and in the church. And it was a real test of what to do. And we took a career break, and I worked full-time for the church and then ended up in Bible college. The thought was to stay in England. I wasn't a Christian when I left Ireland, so I knew no Christians here. Ended up praying with a group of Christians from the Republic, and it was a joy just to see them praying for the different counties each week. And so myself and my wife thought we would knock some doors to see if the Lord would have us in the Republic. So we have been in Carrick Macross, which is South Monaghan, for the last 14 years.
Okay, good, good. And you're going to be sharing on parenting and technology tonight. On the little flyer that you sent through to me is Soul Story.
Soul Story, yeah.
Do you want to tell us a little bit what that's about, what that means?
So my background in theology would be the theology of people, and that has just been a joy, as you see, the theology of God and theology of how to be saved. Also, there is just a rich history in the Christian faith of understanding people. And as I studied the theology of people, one of the intersections and comparison there was is there has been an absolute flood of psychotherapy and psychology and counseling that has come on the scene, almost to the sense that counselors are now the secular priests. And so I've trained in psychotherapy. I work both in secular environments and in Christian environments. And Soul Story is taking, how do you take the richness of what God's Word says and some of the tools that have been learnt and played with to see how to understand people and to how to bring life and healing to people. So that's what Soul Story does. And I find that so much of pastoral counseling and therapy is working with people in crisis. And actually, wouldn't it be lovely to get further upstream before there is a crisis? Like to think through some of these things before there is a mess to fix. Mm-hmm. And so I love doing nights like tonight, where rather than there being some problem that we're trying to work out how do we get out of, actually trying to think ahead so that we figure out how to use tech so that we don't get into those common problems. So that's what Soul Story is about. It's trying to get a wee bit further upstream rather than waiting for problems to start.
Okay. Well, listen, I want to give you as much time as possible, so I'm going to pray for you. Just to let you know that there is going to be a time at the end for a few questions. So do be thinking as Colin is presenting the material. If there are questions, jot them down in your mind, and we'll have a time at the end to ask them. Okay. So let me pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for another opportunity to meet together as your people, to come under the sound of your word and to think through relevant topics, particularly thinking of parenting and technology this evening, Lord. We recognize the world has changed dramatically even in the last 10, 15 years. And Lord, we want to know how to, with wisdom, apply your word and the principles of your word into every situation of life. And so we just pray that you would help us this evening as Colin shares a little bit of his thoughts from your word and wisdom on this area. And we pray that you would equip him and fill him with the Holy Spirit and use him to speak powerfully into our lives, that we might leave tonight encouraged, strengthened, instructed, and even changed by what we've thought about. Do your work tonight, we pray, and we'll bring you the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thank you, Gareth. And if you have a Bible, I'd love it if you turn right to the start of the scriptures, to Genesis 1. Because tonight we're going to be thinking a lot about the practicalities of this little device. And I love that scripture is sufficient for everything we need for life and godliness. And though you've probably picked up, you don't turn to Ezekiel chapter 32 and find a little discussion on smartphones. And yet we are confident this book gives us everything that we need to understand how to navigate the technological world that we are in. And it is fascinating how technology has affected people differently. And we're not going to cover how it affects everyone tonight, but I'd love us to give us a little taste. And if you're there in Genesis chapter 1 and verse 28, understanding what it is to be made in the image of God and how God has wired us. And Genesis 1 verse 28 said, God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves along the ground. And that's known as the cultural mandate, where God sends people out to fill the earth and subdue it, to create families and communities and go and do wonderful things in God's name. And you see both aspects of that woven through the whole of Scripture, where we are made for community. We're made to connect. It's not good for man to be alone in Genesis 2. And the whole way through the scriptures, we're made for relationships. Relationships with each other, relationships with God, where we love God and we love people as our neighbors. And woven into what it is to be human, to be made in the image of God, is this longing for connection. But there's the other part of the cultural mandate of go and subdue the earth, that actually God calls us to do and go amazing things in his name. And as we build culture, the rest of scripture fills in. What does it look like to go on this adventure with God where we love God and love people, where we go and make disciples of all nations, where we seek the peace and well-being of the city to which we've been called, where we protect those who can't protect themselves, where we provide for ourselves and our own household and for those in need and for the people of God and the wider community, that actually God calls us to go on this crazy, costly, sacrificial, meaningful, purposeful, godly adventure where we go out and do stuff in his name. Now, if you hold those two things together, that he's made us both for connection and he's made us for adventure, and that is true for every single one of us, but sometimes for some of us it's connection is to the forefront. We really, really want to connect while we go on an adventure. And for some of us, we're going on an adventure and we really want to connect as people go with us. That's really important. Because actually, as the dust has settled on how this thing has been used and affected people, it's affected people really in quite different ways. And I don't know, as you see this thing, whether or not you think it's good or whether you think it's bad. Like, if I had to push you on it, do you think it's good or do you think it's bad? I don't know what your answer is, but I'd love it if it's neither of those. Because you get in Genesis 4, after they have been kicked out of the garden, people still long for connection. People still long for adventure. And as soon as they're kicked out of the garden, you see the problems with connection with Cain and Abel and how actually brothers go against each other. But you see the longing for communities. You also see the longing for go and fill the earth and subdue it. So you get the farmers and the musicians. And there's a great little verse in Genesis 4:22 that talks about Tubal-Cain. And Tubal-Cain, who forged all kinds of tools out of bronze and iron. And this little thing is one of the most recent tools that image bearers of God have forged. No longer out of bronze and iron, but it's a tool. And actually there is something about this phone that is an expression of the creativity of the image of God. This is what people made in the image of God do. We make tools, we make music, we cultivate farms. Except this happens in Genesis 4, the other side of Genesis 3. Which means that this isn't just an expression of the creativity that it is to be made in the image of God. It has also been formed by sinful hands. It is both an expression of the creativity that it is to be the image of God, and it has also been forged by sinful hands. And so as we play with this, I'd love us to get past that, is it good or is it bad? There's both something amazing about it and something very scary about it. And I am coming at this from a perspective of, I spend a lot of time on these things. So much of my life and ministry is based around the opportunities that new technology has offered. And whether that's as a pastor in church life, whether that's working as a tutor with Crosslands in theological training, or whether that's working with Soul Story in a psychotherapy environment, I could not do my job the way I do it if it wasn't for some of the innovation that has happened in this tech. And yet, it terrifies me. And tonight, I want you to remember, I really love some of the opportunities that this has opened, because I would like to show some of the landscape of what goes on with it. Because often tomorrow morning I'm going to talk to a group of 7 to 12-year-olds about this, because their school has been destroyed by it. And it would break your heart if I told you what has happened in that little school community through these things. Actually, sometimes I find it easier to talk to the 7 to 12-year-olds because they are swimming through it and they get some of it. Sometimes the hardest folk I talk to are parents who've lost touch with this because they don't know what's happening. And so tonight, one of the things I would love to do is to give a flavor of what that landscape is. What it looks like to swim through this. I don't know when you got one of these. Do you remember? Like, they've been around for a right while, but the marriage between phone and internet as a smartphone. So mobile phones have been around for quite a wee while, and some form of device has been around for quite a wee while, but in terms of the internet on a device where social media and all sorts of games on a phone in your pocket, this really exploded. There was a particular year where this went from a few people have it to basically everyone in the Western world has it. That year was 2011. Now do your maths. That's help me out here. 14, thank you. A 14-year experiment. And it takes a wee while for an experiment to work its way through to figure out actually what's the effect. And if I was talking about this saying 2:18, honestly, we really didn't know the effect that it was having. But 2025 is a different story. 2025, actually, the dust has kind of settled on, oh my goodness, the results of this experiment are now becoming really, really clear. Now, I say that because if you were handing out phones in 2016 and 2017, there's a sense in which we really didn't know better. But in 2025, we do know better. And in fact, the whole culture now knows better as to what the last 14 years has done to a generation. And I'd love to just give a little bit of a landscape of what that looks like. And if you have this little handout on technology and wisdom and attention is currency, I'd love to give you just a brief sketch. And I want to get our ambitions clear for tonight. I would love to try and paint a basic sketch of what is going on in the landscape of smartphones. And I would love to touch on some really, really, really important applications, but we will not get into the detail of here's how I would love us as families to tackle and navigate what a phone in a home looks like. Can we have that as a discussion for another day? I'd love to keep our ambitions at an appropriate level for 40 minutes I'd love to sketch you the landscape and hint at a few, here's what I'd really love you to think about. But a detailed discussion of the applications would be for another day. So if you have that little handout, the biggest thing I would love you to understand about this little phone is that there's an incredible amount of design that has gone into it. In fact, a number of years ago, there was a marriage between two industries, the tech industry and the gambling industry, where the tech industry was able to come to the gambling industry and say, hey, we can open up doors for you that you never believed would have existed. People do not have to come to casinos. We can bring your casino right into their home. We can break open your world to engage more people than you could have dreamt with. But this is not a one-way street. Because we will open up the opportunities for you, but you have done decades and decades and decades of study on the psychology of addiction. How to make people addicted to your product. And so we're going to give you opportunities, and you're going to teach us how to pull people in. Do you get the picture? And so the gambling industry has been built around trying to figure out psychologically what it is that puts a hook in someone to pull them in. And so if you've ever seen the slot machine, you know the one-arm bandit? Yeah. You stay on those long enough, the house always wins. And so they have a phrase, it's time on machine. And so if you can give enough rewards at the right time to keep people on the machine, the house will always win. The design that's gone behind this is almost identical. It's called time on device. That this thing has been designed specifically to keep people on the device as long as possible. It's not that they're trying to destroy us. It's not that they're trying to help us. They simply don't care. They just want faces on the screen. And if you can imagine, some of the cleverest minds of our time have been contracted to figure out how would you design this that people's posture comes like this. That they spend as little time as possible away from the screen. Now, do you know what's crazy? is that as the companies have tried to figure out what is it that pulls people in, the tech companies have figured something out. They figured out, I don't know if this is news to you, boys and girls are different. It's not mad. Who'd have thought? And actually, we live in a culture where, can you even say that? Well, the tech companies know it. Because actually what draws a girl in is not the same as what draws a boy in. And we're talking about broad brushstrokes. It's not that this is true for every single boy or this is true for every single girl, but in broad brushstrokes, technology has affected boys and girls in a very dramatically different way. And do you remember what we chatted about in Genesis 1? That for some people, for all of us, we are wired for connection and adventure. And the tech companies have worked that out too. But some of us are wired for connection and adventure in the background. And some of us are wired for adventure and connection in the background. And what the tech companies have worked out is that in broad brushstrokes, this is not true for every boy and every girl, but if you want to suck a girl into the tech world, you promise connection. You want to suck a boy into the tech world, you offer him adventure. And so how boys and girls navigate the technological world is so different. And I would love you at least to be aware of that, of if at some point you are handing a phone to someone, whether it's a boy or a girl will hugely depend on how they are going to struggle with this. And you should know it, because the tech companies certainly know it. And I would love you to imagine that it's not just that this phone opens up a world of opportunities, both good opportunities and bad opportunities. It's not just that. It's that these tech companies will be able to watch every click, every scroll, every pause. That when you're on these apps, the AI algorithm will be watching. How long did you pause on that? What did you click on? What did you scroll past and ignore? And all the AI algorithm wants to know is, what do you like? Because we'll keep feeding it to you. I clock that. It's not just that your kid or yourself might stumble upon something. It's that the smartest minds combined with AI technology are out looking for them. What is it? What particular hook gets in them that they don't want to take their eyes off the screen? Do you get the picture? And so if we could take a little moment to explore what does this look like for boys and girls? So if you have your little sheet there, I'd love you if you'd flick to that little sheet. And I really want to say that these are not absolutes, but nor are they nothing. The thing with broad brushstrokes is that if you think this is true for absolutely everyone, then that's nonsense. But if you think because it's not true for absolutely everyone, it's true for no one, that's equally nonsense. That there are broad brushstroke patterns to boys and girls and how they navigate technology. And here are some of the broad brushstrokes that are particularly different. So if you've got that little handout, you will see that it is now beyond doubt that for girls and social media, if a girl is exposed to social media in her teenage years, it's a given that our anxiety levels will be higher than they should be. Like, that's not people coming up with that. We've been looking at this for 14 years. It's now beyond any reasonable doubt social media has a crazy effect on girls. In a way, it doesn't quite have the same effect on boys. It's still not good. It's still not good. But the effect on girls is even more. Because social media promises connection. Like, it's the whole premise of the thing. You can be connected with so many people. Except what it offers and what it delivers can be fairly different. Do you see the comparison thing? You look on Instagram or Snapchat or TikTok, and when people post, you get an artificial highlight reel of what they're really doing. But you imagine a young girl sitting looking at that day in, day out, and all they see is how amazing everybody else's life is. Okay, that's tricky. But then you throw on the filters. The filters that take a selfie and tweak the proportions of the face to put it into more of a phi structure, and the eyes increase. So you take a selfie and you put a filter on it, and the picture looks absolutely gorgeous. And so now you've got a girl who's looking at all her friends putting these filtered pictures on, and then she looks in the mirror. And it's like, how can I compare to that? Okay, I'll do the filters as well, and then you see how many likes and shares each of those posts get. And particularly for a teenage girl, as she's branching out of, okay, there's more to me than just being part of the family. I've got to get into the wider community. I'm trying to figure out my place. What does it look like to belong outside the family? And actually, these posts get likes if they do certain things, or show certain things, or act in certain ways. Do you know what that teaches a young girl? I do a lot of counseling, and sometimes I encounter young women in their 20s and 30s who are absolutely riddled with anxiety. And they hate meeting new people. Do you know why? Because they have learnt that to belong, you have to become what someone else wants you to be. To belong, you have to become what someone else wants you to be. Do you know why meeting new people is so crippling? Because you don't know what they expect of you. Isn't that devastating? And social media will teach you, be what others expect you to be. Watch what gets the likes, watch what gets the shares, watch what gets the comments, and do that. And it has been devastating for a generation of young girls. But it doesn't stop there. Let me pick up on the second one. See the isolation? It promises, you know, you're in so many groups and so many chats, and you're connected with so many people, and the group conversations on these social apps promise so much chance to be connected. Except, imagine you're the only one in the class that isn't part of the group. Or imagine you are part of the group, and you say or do something, and every other member of the group forms a new group, exactly the same, except without you. It's like everyone except Sarah. And then in that group, the challenge is to share jokes about Sarah. And then the challenge is to take silly pictures of Sarah in school and put them on the group and doodle over them and give her a beard and whatever else. And then the next challenge is take pictures of Sarah and Photoshop them onto, let's say, an inappropriate image. And Sarah goes through school, and every time she hears a click of the phone, has a panic attack. Because she knows exactly what's going to happen with the photograph. You know what that does to a girl? The third one there is that it's contagious. Do you know there are some things that are socially contagious? Probably one of the biggest emotions that is contagious is anxiety. You know, if I start like, what's going on? Your anxiety starts to spike. It's like he thinks there's a problem, there must be a problem. You put someone in an anxious environment and their anxiety goes through like this. Social media is one of the most anxious places you could ever imagine to be. And you throw a young girl into that environment and her anxiety is going like this. The other type of thing in our culture that is profoundly contagious. Do you know in the last 7 years, the people identifying with transgender disorder has increased by 5,000%. 5,000%, like that is off the charts. Everyone is struggling with the brokenness inside, and along comes someone who says, I can explain the brokenness inside. It's that you were born in the wrong body. And here's your ticket to feeling better. Change your body. And the contagiousness of that has ran through a generation. 5,000% increase in 7 years. That is a contagion. And if we throw our younger generation into the middle of that, they are swimming through a contagious environment that sticks. Those three are just the run-of-the-mill, day-to-day stuff. The next one I've put on there is predator, but let me just give you the really, really tame stuff. Relatively, it's not tame, it's horrible. But on the scale of where this goes, so picture a young girl, she's going out with a fella, and she doesn't want to sleep with him, but he pressurizes her, and she holds her ground and says no. But then he says, you know, you don't really care about me, and guilts her and guilts her and guilts her until he says, I tell you what, send me a photograph. And it's just a mild one to start. But then he really appreciates her and doesn't keep putting pressure on her to sleep with him. And so she sends another picture at his prompting until they've been going out for 6 months and he now has an album. And then they break up. What do you think he does with that album? Or imagine a young lad who on social media connects with a girl he doesn't know from the other school. And she has, you know, all the background stuff on her social profile, and she engages him, and they spend a couple of weeks just chatting, and then they start an online relationship where she says, you know, I'd love to meet up at some time, but let's get to know each other online. Now, what he doesn't know is that that's not a lovely 16-year-old girl from the other school. It's a 50-year-old man who has been doing this a long time and knows how to fish. And eventually he convinces the young lad to send a picture. And you can imagine what he does with it. I'm going to spare you the nasty stuff. That's the run-of-the-mill stuff. And I hope it breaks your heart just a little bit. And I say that as someone who lives with tech. My vocation is based around tech. I believe that this is an expression of the creativity that it is to be made in the image of God. But it has also been molded by sinful hands. And we are living in a season where this thing is laced with addictive design, laced with it. And the designers are not out to get you, they're not out to help you, they just want to keep you on the screen. Do you know, boys, it's really quite different. For boys, there used to be a rite of passage. You know, what does it look like to go from a boy to a man? And what's fascinating is, as you look at social studies, something happened in the 90s. Something happened in the 90s where we became very, very cautious and sterile and kept everything very safe and tame and nice. And so the way it used to be was boys would go out and they would do stupid things and they would cut their knees and they would be coming back and their knees were bleeding in black and blue. And do you know what they learned? When they did those stupid things, they learned their limits. They learned consequences for their actions. They learned how to balance. They learned how to pick themselves up when they got knocked down. They learned how to do dangerous things carefully. They learned how to do dangerous things carefully by doing stupid stuff. And they came back and their legs were black and blue and bleeding. What do you call it? You know when your kids are young and you have to take them to community nurse? What do we call it? The public health nurse? Is that it? Public health nurse? Do we have that here? Yeah? I can still remember going to the public health nurse when our girls were tiny. And you know where you're like terrified? Because you think you're going to get reported. You know, because their legs are, it's like someone's taking a cheese grater to them. And you're like, wow, and you're trying to explain yourself of, you know, I do not beat my children. They do this to themselves. And I can still remember, it was an older public nurse. And she just started laughing at me. And she was like, stop freaking out. I'm not going to report you. She said, I've been doing this a long time. Do you know what really scares me? I always look from knee to ankle. And if knee to ankle is pristine, I worry. Because if they're not falling over, then they're not learning. If they're not going out on adventures, what are they doing? And it used to be a rite of passage that for young fellas, their knees would be absolutely destroyed with blood and cuts and scars. There was another one that came, that as a young lad started to find his voice, he started to realize that his words had impact and his words could affect people. And probably, to be honest, in his house, he got away with more than he should. And then he went out into the real world. And he tried to use that same voice with people out there, except they were less patient. And every fella in here, I hope, knows this, that when they said the wrong thing to the wrong person and they came home with a gorgeous black eye, they learned to wind their neck in. It was a community service. And all the fellas had these big black eyes where they realized, okay, turns out my words have consequences and I got to listen instead of speak. And as they learned to find their voice, they also learned to find their ears. Sometimes you have to be slower to speak. Sometimes you have to measure yourself because not everyone puts up with your nonsense. And after their knees were bleeding and their eyes had been blackened and they started to get a bit older, they noticed the lovely, gorgeous girl in the same class as them. And they took a risk. And she broke their heart. And do you know what he realized? Turns out, if someone like that's ever going to say yeah, I got to brush my teeth and learn how to comb my hair. I've got to take a shower from time to time. And then you ask another one out and she breaks your heart and you realize, okay, I've actually got to give someone a reason to say yes. You know, it's not like they give this out as charity. I've actually got to be someone if I'm going to have one of these lovely people say yes to go on this adventure on life with me. And so a fellow realizes I've got to do something. I can't just expect that everything's going to be given to me. And you only learn that by having your heart broken. And then the fourth one. You know, when they hit 20 and they've learnt a few things and they start to think, do you know, if just people would listen to me, I could fix the whole world. Except what happens is then they meet other folk who've had a bit more experience and done a bit more reading and have been a wee bit more thoughtful, and they realize, hang on, it's not that everyone's stupid and I am the world's gift to solve the problems of this planet. Turns out, actually, I've got a few more things to learn. And the things that I were so certain of, I've actually got to balance that and try and understand stuff from other people's perspective. And I've got to go on a journey, and I need a bit of humility to do that. Do you picture the rite of passage? Can you see the bleeding knees and the blackened eye and the broken heart and the balanced views? And maybe there's a chance that this young lad will grow into a man. What if you took all that away? What if instead of the bleeding knees, he was brought up in a home where everything was so safe and so monitored? He never did stupid stuff. He never learned to do dangerous stuff carefully. But what he was given was a phone and an Xbox. See, that need for adventure isn't going away. And do you know what happened? Well, his knees won't bleed. But he will go online and he will conquer worlds. He will defeat armies. He will build castles. And online he will be a hero. He will be a legend among his friends online. And he never has to cut his knee once. And then he will go on some of the forums and he will find his voice and he will realize, you know, my voice has power, my voice has impact. And he will be online and he will say something so horrible. And do you know what won't happen? No fist will come through that screen to blacken his eye. And do you know what he will learn? I can get away with this. But next time I'll say something worse and worse and worse until we have created this little keyboard warrior who has learned that his voice has impact and power, but no one ever blackened his eye to teach him to wind his neck in, to teach him to show manners, to teach him that there are consequences. And so you have this young lad who's never bled his knee, but he is a warrior and a hero online. You have someone who has learned the power of his voice, but no one ever blackened his eye to stop him being a keyboard warrior. And then this young lad has this. And you know those pictures those images that you see or can imagine of outside a school, and there would be drug dealers trying to increase their business. They go looking. Well, imagine that on absolute steroids. Or imagine this room is this young lad's world, except filled with this room are invisible porn sites that are trying to get to him. It's not that he might stumble on them. It's that they are trying to get to him with the most sophisticated technology most of us don't even understand. And you know what is the thing that keeps him and them apart? Three clicks. It's not that he might stumble upon it. It's that they're looking for him. And all that separates him from thousands of porn sites looking for him is three clicks. And do you know what he finds out? He doesn't have to brush his teeth. He doesn't have to comb his hair. He doesn't have to make something of himself. There are thousands of women queuing up for his attention. Why would you risk having your heart broken when there's a queue? And then he starts to learn a wee bit about the world, and he starts to form a few views about life. Do you know what an echo chamber is? So imagine this room was shaped entirely different, that the sound bounced perfectly. And so if I say one thing, it just keeps bouncing, and it sounds like there's a whole army. Okay? I mean, that's how YouTube is designed. That it will find out what I want to hear, and then it will fire those voices at me. So if you are, let's say you take political position A, it'll figure that out. So it will feed you as much as it can of political position A, and then it'll take stuff that claims to be political position B and make it sound utterly ridiculous. And it'll form this little echo chamber in the corner of the internet where this young lad will sit being told exactly what he already believes and being told how ridiculous the other position is in order to keep him on there. And he comes out of that little echo chamber with such heightened confidence that he is absolutely clearly right and everybody else is stupid. And if the world would only listen to him, he could fix everything. And he will believe that he has studied this for 100 hours and knows exactly what he's talking about. In reality, he sat in an echo chamber for 100 hours being told the same stuff over and over and over and over. You put those four things together, do you know what you get? Do you know what the name for it is? Put those four things together. No more bleeding knees. No more blackened eyes. No more broken hearts. No more balanced views. But someone who lives online playing games. They've dropped out of education or career. They live for the online world. They are keyboard warriors who go and troll and say the most horrendous things. They do not have a girlfriend or are seeking marriage. They are saturated daily in a porn addiction. And they are so polarized that they think they are right and the rest of the world is stupid. Do you know what the name for that is? First of all, what's that? Yeah, well, yes, that's another one for it, yeah? And doesn't it break your heart that there's names for this? Failure to launch. They are sat at home with no relationships, no prospect of career, no ambition out there, and they become incels. These are men that should have been missiles that we launched into the world to make a difference in God's name. But they failed to launch. And I'm not saying that everyone who gets a phone, that every girl is going to have panic attacks or that every boy is going to fail to launch. But can you see what tech is trying to do? And it's not that it's even trying to do it. It's just trying to figure out what keeps someone on this phone. And I say that as someone who loves tech. And I spend my working life using it. And I am committed to swimming through it. But handing this to a kid, and we did in 2015, we did, because we didn't know better. We still did in 2018, we did. We handed it to them and we didn't know better. We do know better. This has had a devastating effect on a generation. And I would love to bounce questions. I haven't said a thing about what do you do with it, and I'd love to bounce that around if you have questions. But would anyone like to fire out either questions of clarification, questions about what to do? Fire me thoughts. Make the most of this opportunity. We don't get many chances to do this, so fire us out any thoughts that you'd like to bounce around. Go ahead, Jim. Good question. And there's two parts of this. For those who are a bit younger, how do you set this up that you don't get in that mess? And then there's the question of once you're in the mess, how do you pull it out? And part of it is these children are involved in a game that they don't even know they're in. They can tell that something bad is happening to them, but they do not understand that this thing has been specifically crafted to pull them in. And depending on the particular situation, how old they are, you know, what you would... Listen, I go into schools with seven-year-olds who have had full access to these. What do I say to that family versus the family who's 17-year-old and 11-month-old child has had full access to these? It depends how far down the rabbit hole you are and how old the kid is. One of the things I'm pleading with is you do not say to a child, here's your phone. At whatever child they get it, you say, here's my phone. And we're going to do this together. And I want you to understand that I'm rooting for you. I want you to leave my home having been prepared and protected. I want to protect you, but I also want to prepare you. And the way I'm going to prepare you is I'm going to give you my phone. But please understand it's my phone. And we're going to work on how to do this together. Give us more thoughts or questions. Yeah, and that's really good. And one of the things I'd like you to see is what makes this so potent is the marriage between social media and the device. That there are a host of options to introduce this in layers. And there's a couple of things. I would plead with you not to give a kid in primary school one of these. I can only assume if someone in 2025 gives this to a kid in primary school, it's because they haven't understood what the last 14 years has taught us. That said, the way social media is designed, most adults struggle with it. The way these apps have been designed, if I had my way, they wouldn't have it until they're 18 plus. However, you have to work out when all their friends have it, they get isolated enough for being a Christian that this is another thing that makes them odd and puts them on the outside if they aren't able to engage in that world. And one thing I would plead with is there are steps that you can do. And my particular worry is the device married to the social media. And so you, as a beginning step, you could say, okay, we will give you an Instagram account, but it'll be on the family laptop. With the plan that by the time you're 18, listen, it's going to be on your phone, but we are going to learn how to do this together. But so much of it is about how the conversation is set up, that you're not trying to rob these people of some amazing gift. You're trying to prepare them that by the time they leave your house, they are ready to fly. But you don't give your car keys to your 10-year-old. But by the time that they leave your house, you want them to be able to drive so they can come back and see the fat old man. That you're not just trying to protect them, you're also trying to prepare them. There's very few absolutes in this, but if there is one absolute, I would plead with. And I said before, so much of my work is crisis management after the milk has been spilt and the cat has got out of the bag. But there is one thing I always say. If this phone is in the bedroom, I cannot do a thing to help. If this is in the bedroom, I cannot do a thing to help. There are very, very few guarantees when it comes to this. But one thing that is as close as a guarantee as I can give you is if this is in a girl's bedroom, their anxiety will be higher than it should be. If this is in a boy's bedroom, it's only a question of how bad the porn habit is and whether it becomes addiction. It's not an if. If this is in the bedroom, you're done. It's just a question of how far down the rabbit hole it goes. And the reason why I love doing these is to try and get ahead of the conversation rather than chase it. Anybody else want to fire some thoughts before we finish and wrap up? There's a lovely and long conversation to be had about this thing has been very slickly designed to keep eyes on screen. And so when you're giving a phone to a child, there are ways to redesign this to take some of the bite of the addiction out of it. And those are conversations that I would love you guys to develop and explore of tonight. Is me simply trying to say, I want you to understand the landscape that a younger generation is walking through. And I would love to spark a conversation of, okay, I see it. Now what do we do? And if the two things that I could leave you with is one, please do not give this to a kid in primary school. Second, whatever age you are, please get this out of the bedroom and the bathrooms. Keep it in a community part of the house. And I'd love you also to notice that it is highly contagious. If I give my kids the phone, that's not just a decision for me and my family, it's a decision that affects all their friends. Because if I give my kid a phone, their friends then say, Colin give his daughters a phone and you're just holding us back. And they fall like dominoes. And I think probably we have forgotten how to make decisions as a village. And this is one that, because we become really quite individual of, I'll do what's right by me and my family, we have fallen like dominoes. Where when all the other children have it, and your child is the only one who's left out and isn't partaking, you are isolating them. And actually none of the parents wanted to do it. It's that one did it, and we fell like dominoes. And actually part of this is trying to bring in a little bit more village thinking, where the impact that I make has an impact on your family and your family and your family. And so more and more you get groups of parents saying, listen, our kids are all connecting. Can we please make a deal? No phones to secondary school. Can we please make a deal that Snapchat stays on the laptops? Can we please make a deal? And there is a world of conversation to be had on this. My plea simply for tonight is that you get a picture of that landscape, that we see this is as amazing as it is dangerous. And I'd love to spark some of those thoughts, those questions, how do we do this? Guys, you've been fabulous. I've already taken too much of your time. Could I pray for us? And then we'll finish. Heavenly Father, what a joy it is to know that your word equips us for everything. Everything that this life could throw at us. And Father, I pray for every person, every family, this church, this community. Lord, that you would give us the wisdom that we need to understand the times that we live in, to protect ourselves and our younger generation. Lord, that we might raise up men and women who know what it is to connect with you and to connect with people, who know what it is to go on this adventure to take the gospel to all nations, to protect those who can't protect themselves, to love you with all of their heart and soul and mind and strength. Lord, raise up a wonderful generation that loves you, that serves you. Protect them, and may we prepare them. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.